I welcome you to yet another week of our verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. Today we pick up our story in Judges chapter 14, verse 8. You remember we're looking at the life of Samson, one of the latter judges of the period of the judges of Israel. In fact, we are talking about two particular individuals that God has intervened through angelic means to make sure that these two young men are Nazarites for their entire lives. Samuel, who is functioning as a prophet, a young prophet at this particular time, at the tabernacle in Shiloh, and then Samson, the young man that we're looking at right now, who has not yet come to prominence as the military judge, as the savior of Israel from a physical standpoint. So he's probably in his upper teens when this story takes place, that he insists his parents get him engaged to a Philistine woman. Because as the text says, this is how God is going to begin the breaking of the Philistine oppression over Israel. So it's going to be a total of 40 years that the Philistines have this oppression. And we're about 20 years through that, very close to 20 years through that, when Samson begins his work. So the last event that we saw was that he and his family had gone down to make the betrothal arrangements, to exchange money and vows and set some sort of date framework as to when the wedding is going to take place. On that trip from his house at Zorah down to the house of his bride-to-be at Timnah, a distance of probably about 7 road miles, something in that neighborhood. He was by himself in a vineyard when a lion attacked him, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in power, and he killed the lion, just like a strong male of this age would be able to deal with a goat, a young goat. It was no big deal to him. But it was a supernatural thing, and it surprises Samson, but he doesn't tell his mom and dad about it. So now we jump forward several weeks, perhaps a few months, until it's time for the wedding itself. And Samson and his family are heading to Timnah again. So Judges 14:8. After some days, he returned to take her, meaning to go through with the marriage. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. So he's traveling along with mom and dad, and then he excuses himself somehow and wanders off the road specifically to the place where he remembered killing this lion with his bare hands. And there is the decaying corpse of this lion. Perhaps it's down now to mostly a skeleton. And perhaps the rib cage, or maybe the pelvis of this rotting corpse, has provided a location for some ground nesting honeybees to set up their comb, their nest. And that's what it says here. Behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and there was honey. So he scraped it out into his hands, and he went on eating as he went. So what we see here is a clear violation of his Nazarite status. He is not supposed to be touching anything unclean, and certainly nothing that is dead, especially for a long period of time. So he reaches in to this carcass and pulls out some of the honeycomb and starts chewing on it. He came to his father and his mother and gave some to them, and they ate, which is very rude, because not only is he now eating something unclean, he is giving it unknowingly to his own parents so that they are ceremonially unclean without realizing it. He did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. Now, why is this in the story? Two reasons, I think. The number one thing is to give us an insight into the attitude of Samson toward his Nazirite vow. He's not committed to it like he should be. And the other reason is this honey from a lion carcass is going to be part of a riddle that he constructs later. Verse 10. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. So he's putting on his wedding party. It's not going to be one day. It's going to be a whole week-long event. Verse 11. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Apparently, that's the custom amongst the Philistines that live in this city, who are members of the wife-to-be family, or the extended community. So Samson said to them, that is to his 30 groomsmen, that's what we'll call them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 garments and 30 changes of clothes." It was not uncommon for part of the enjoyment of a festival time and for a wedding feast to put riddles to each other and even make bets over whether or not the person could guess the riddle out. So that's what he does. He challenges them. "I will give you a riddle. You'll have the rest of the wedding feast time period, 7 days, to figure it out. If you can figure it out, I'll give each one of you, my groomsmen, a brand new set of clothes." And they said to him, "Go ahead, put your riddle that we may hear it." And so if they can't figure it out, each one of them have to give him a suit of clothes, so he'll end up with 30. So they say, "Go ahead, put your riddle out here." And he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." So that's the riddle. And in 3 days, they could not solve the riddle. They couldn't figure it out. So on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, because at some point early in the 7 days, that's when the official ceremony takes place and they become husband and wife. So on the fourth day of the celebration, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" So these guys figure that they were supposed to be just having a week-long free feed, free drink, you know, like a reception, a wedding reception with an open bar and a buffet. But it lasts a week long. They thought that's what they were supposed to be getting, not having to cough up a brand new outfit, each of them, for this Israeli, because remember, they're Philistines. So they are mad at the family of the wife. So Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You've put a riddle to my people. You've not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I've not told my father or my mother. Should I tell you?" So this becomes their first big recorded fight. She's mad because ultimately her life is on the line and her family's life is on the line. And it's all about this stupid riddle. And Samson won't share the answer with her because she feels if he would just give the answer, he's only going to be out 30 changes of clothing. Yeah, that's a lot, but he can certainly figure out some way to pay up, or he wouldn't have made the bet in the first place. If he wins, she'll be dead. That's the way she's looking at this. So she wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted. Now, the wording is a little clumsy in the English here. Remember, we were already on the fourth day when she started her crying. And so she's going to cry for the next 3 days, for the total of the 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him hard. So she's crying and complaining and bothering him, and he finally gives in. Now, I want you to file this away in the back of your mind, because this relationship where he tries to hold things tightly for himself while a woman is trying to manipulate his likeness for her, his love for her, will try to manipulate him into revealing information. It's going to be repeated again at the end of his life. So she gets the answer to the riddle, and she told the riddle to her people, meaning fellow Philistines, because they're really not all that into her. They aren't really looking out for her best. They're only looking out for themselves. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down. So before the wedding 7 day week is out. Well, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And that's exactly the answer to the riddle, isn't it? So he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. Now, a lot of people take insult for some reason at that phrase, calling his wife a heifer. But I don't think it's intended in that way. This seems to be like a proverb that is not intended to be an insult, but rather, look, if you hadn't messed around in my family, if you hadn't manipulated my wife, if you hadn't threatened my wife, you wouldn't have got this information. So effectively, he calls them a bunch of cheats. But he is required to keep his bet, his oath. And he decides that he's going to take his anger out on other Philistines. And God chooses to use this as part of the breaking of the Philistine power and the establishment of Samson as God's big stick to be used against the Philistines. So verse number 19 says, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. So the Spirit of He Who Is comes upon him in supernatural, in a supernatural manner, just like when he killed the cougar or the mountain lion with his bare hands. And he went down to Ashkelon. Now, Ashkelon is one of the five cities of the Philistines. But it is interesting, it is farther away from Timnah than the closest Philistine city, which is Ekron. So Timnah is related to Ekron. It's only about 4 or 5 miles away. And he chooses not to do anything near Timnah. Instead, he goes about 25 road miles to the southwest and goes to Ashkelon. And there he picks fights with 30 Philistine men. And basically either beats them up or kills them in the process of beating them up. And it says he struck down 30 men of that town, Ashkelon, and took their spoil, because you remember in the ancient times in particular, it's a winner-take-all situation. If you get into a personal fight or you get into a military fight as a kingdom, the loser has to give up stuff to the winner. And that's what happens here. He either beats up or kills these 30 guys, and he took their clothes. And he gave the garments to those who had told the riddle, and in hot anger, he went back to his father's house. So he spends a couple of days going down to Ashkelon and fighting and coming back to Timnah, hands over these 30 changes of clothes, probably all bloody, maybe a little bit torn up, gives it to the guys in payment for the debt, and then he's all mad. And remember, he's about 19, 20 years of age. He storms off and leaves his wife with mom and dad, with her mom and dad at Timnah. Verse 20, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. So he abandons her, and months go by, and her mom and dad decide that Samson's not coming back, that effectively he has decided he doesn't want to be married to her. So they declare her to be free to remarry someone else. And they pick one of the 30 guys to be married to. And then they go through very quickly with a marriage. And that's what Samson finds out months later. Chapter 15. After some days, at the time of the wheat harvest always begins with Pentecost. So we're talking about the first weekend in the third Jewish month. That's Pentecost weekend. They'll have their Sabbath, and then the next day after that is the 50th day since Passover Sabbath. And that's when they're going to have the kickoff to the wheat harvest. So it's summertime. Samson went to visit his wife with a young goat. So he heads back down to Timnah with an apology gift. Probably an apology to her mom and dad for storming off and not following through with being a good husband. So he said, I'm going to go into my wife in the chamber. So he just walks into the house, hands off the goat, and says, I'm going up with my wife. But her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, I really thought that you utterly hated her. So I gave her to your companion. So I've already married her off to somebody else, Samson. And then he makes this offer. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please take her instead. So he still wants to be related to Samson and says, look, let's just follow through with your commitment to be married to one of my daughters with the next daughter that's single. Now, Samson's not having anything to do with this. We're going to see that Samson has a temper. And Samson tends to want to get even. And we need to be honest during evaluation that he's got issues that way. But God utilizes his overreaction to deal out punishment to the Philistines to break their power over the Israelites. It's one of those twisted things that is the Romans 8:28 thing, that God is able to make all things work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So even when God's people make bad choices, God is still able to use that in his special way to bring about something beneficial to the mission. Now, we are not able to do that. He is. So Samson has another fit. Verse 3. Samson said to them, "Well, this time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do harm when I do them harm." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Now, this is taking some time to plot his revenge. And his anger is directed again toward the people of this city of Timnath, where the 30 guys cheated him, as far as he's concerned, out of 30 pieces of clothing. And now one of them has cheated him out of the wife that he married and wanted to spend the rest of his life with. And so he figures the whole community needs to suffer. So he takes the time to set traps, live catch traps, and got himself 300 foxes. And then he took torches and he turned them tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. Now, he is not being kind to these animals. This is going to kill them. But he is not thinking about that. All he is thinking about is, I want to get even with these Philistines. And so he's got 150, because remember, there's a pair of foxes to each one of these torches. He's got 150 fire bombs, moving fire bombs that he's going to set off. Verse 5, when he set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and set fire to the stacked grain and the standing grain, as well as the olive orchards. So he lets these 150 pairs of foxes with lit torches go loose in the grain fields, in the grain storage and grain processing areas, and in the orchards. And the foxes, trying to get away from the fire, are zigzagging all over the place. It's a very random sort of thing. And it was fire everywhere. And so what happens? Verse 6, unintended consequences as far as Samson is concerned. His goal was to cost the Philistines a whole bunch of money, damage them for damaging him. So the Philistines said, "Who's done this?" And they said, "It's Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he's taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came and burned her and her father with fire. So the Philistines came and got their revenge by burning the house of Samson's father-in-law down over him and his family, including the woman that Samson loved. And what does Samson do? Verse 7, Samson said to them, "If this is what you do, I swear I will be avenged on you, and then after that I will quit." And he struck them hip and thigh with a great blow, and he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock at Etam. So he just starts attacking Philistines right and left, killing a whole bunch of them because they had killed the woman he loved. And then he runs off to this place that nobody's 100% certain where it's at. It seems to be somewhere just inside Judean territory from the Danite territory where he grew up. And he hides out there or hangs out there thinking, well, I'm done. I've got my revenge, and that should be the end of it. Well, the Philistines came, and they encamped in Judah, and they made a raid on Lehi. Now, Lehi is going to get its name from the event that just now happens. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said, "We've come up to bind Samson to do to him as he did to us." So they invade Judah to capture Samson. And the Judahites ask, "Why are you here?" And they tell them that. Verse 11, "Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, 'Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you've done to them?'" So now the Judah people is upset with the Samson of the Dan tribe just over the border from them, bringing this trouble into their region. And they blame Samson for not being submissive to the Philistine reality, because the Philistines are kind of in the control of this border territory. "Well," he said to them, "as they did to me, so I've done to them." And so he's basically, hey, they deserved it. They said to him, "We have come down to bind you that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. So we're here to arrest you. And then we're going to turn you over to the Philistines so they'll go away." Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves. So he extracts from them a promise that they will not execute him on the spot and hand his dead body over. They said to him, "No, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will not surely kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. So we finish today, bit of a cliffhanger, with Samson in the custody of the Judeans being extradited back into the custody of the Philistines. Let's see what happens tomorrow when we get into the Word.